A sugar CRM zero day goes wild, a cyber attack shuts down a shipping management platform, and the Raspberry Robin botnet loses 30% of its command and control servers in a partial takedown. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 11th of January, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Run Zero. In today's top story, extended support for the Microsoft Windows 7 operating system has officially concluded. Windows 7 reached its end of life for home users in January 2020, after which point Microsoft offered security updates to a select few corporate customers under a commercial plan. Those updates will stop this week, meaning that companies will need to update to a new Windows version in order to keep their systems safe. Other Microsoft products that reached end of support this week include Visual Studio 2012 and the Windows 8.1, Windows RT and Windows Server 2008 operating systems. In other news, almost 10% of all internet-accessible sugar CRM servers have been hacked and compromised using a zero-day exploit published online in late December. Sugar CRM describes the zero-day as an authentication bypass that allows threat actors to upload web shells on their servers. Researchers from Census have observed the attackers dropping web shells, and open source reporting indicates the zero-day has also been used to drop crypto mining malware. Sugar CRM released an official patch a week after the exploit was published. The company says that all users who run on-premise servers of its Sugar CRM Sell, Serve, Enterprise, Professional, and Ultimate services should apply the update to avoid future attacks. WhatsApp's lawsuit against NSO Group will go ahead after the US Supreme Court rejected the infamous Israeli spyware vendor's appeal. WhatsApp sued NSO Group in 2019 after the company created and sold an exploit that was used to hack WhatsApp users' smartphones. NSO had asked the WhatsApp's lawsuit to be thrown out because it's entitled to sovereign immunity, which is a legal protection usually granted to countries. NSO's lawyers argued that because the exploit was bought and used by foreign governments that had the authority to use its tools, the company couldn't be held accountable for how the exploits were used. Over the last 3 years, lower US courts have all declined NSO's request for sovereign immunity, and now that the Supreme Court has also declined to hear its arguments, the original case can move forward. So what are the implications? Well, the Knight Institute at Columbia University says the Supreme Court's decision clears the path for other parties to sue NSO Group for its past operations, even if they involve the exploitation of vulnerabilities in different software. NetLab, the network security division of Chinese tech firm Qihu360, says it's discovered a new malware strain named XDR33 that appears to be a new variation of Hive, a malware control framework supposedly developed by the CIA. Hive is one of the tools that had its documentation leaked by WikiLeaks in 2017 as part of the Vault 7 collection. NetLab researchers say they discovered the XDR33 variant on hacked F5 devices in October last year. NetLab says this is the first time it found a variant of the CIA Hive malware kit in the wild, but the company didn't formally attribute XDR33 and the recent attacks to the CIA, at least not yet. The Maltese government will abandon its joint project with Chinese tech giant Huawei to implement a facial recognition-based CCTV system across its urban areas. Named Safe City Malta, the project was announced in 2018 and was initially deployed in 2019 in two cities, Parcheville and Marsa. After years of criticism from privacy advocates, the Maltese government has chosen not to extend Huawei's contract and to let the project lapse. In the US, the Inspector General at the Office of the Interior has carried out a security audit of the password management policies used inside the US Department of the Interior. Officials say the use of weak passwords was rampant among employees, and they were able to crack more than 18,000 of the passwords used for the department's AD accounts. That's around 21% of the department's entire user base. Hundreds of the accounts used weak passwords such as, yep, you guessed it, password 1234 or Broncos 2012. On top of this, the Inspector General also found that the DOI's IT staff had failed to enforce password complexity requirements, failed to protect 89% of high-value accounts with multi-factor authentication, failed to enforce password age limits, and failed to deactivate inactive accounts. Oops. A Romanian national has been sentenced to 89 months in prison for his role in a large cybercrime gang that defrauded Americans out of millions of US dollars. According to the US Department of Justice, the group operated by using stolen identities to create accounts on popular online auction sites like eBay, where they posted ads for non-existent goods and then laundered the resulting payments through cryptocurrency. The man is the fifth member of the same gang to plead guilty and receive a long prison sentence. Four other Romanian nationals received sentences ranging from 61 to 70 months last year. Security firm SRM says it's spotted new intrusions into corporate networks being carried out by the Lorenz ransomware group. The firm says the gang isn't conducting new operations, but accessing old backdoors they planted months before, backdoors that the victim companies failed to detect last year. Researchers say that all the affected systems are Mitel VoIP telephony servers, many of which were hacked last April via a zero-day vulnerability. Also in malware news, cybersecurity firm Sequoia says the Raspberry Robin botnet lost 30% of its command and control servers in October last year. Sequoia described the event as a partial takedown operation, but didn't say if the servers were taken down by malware's operators or a law enforcement action. Raspberry Robin, which is a worm-like malware strain that spreads via contaminated USB drives, has remained operational. Norwegian company DNV has shut down its Ship Manager smart fleet management platform in the aftermath of a cyber attack that took place on Saturday. The platform allows maritime companies to manage shipping fleets, crews, maintenance, procurement, cargo, and receive centralized ship analytics. It's currently installed on more than 7,000 vessels. DNV says Ship Manager will continue to function in an offline mode while it investigates the incident together with the Norwegian police. A team of academics from the ETH Zurich University has published a technical paper on a series of vulnerabilities in Threema, a secure end-to-end encrypted messaging service that bills itself as a Signal and WhatsApp alternative. The seven vulnerabilities can allow threat actors to impersonate a user, gain access to Threema servers, and gain access to Threema data on an unlocked device. Responding to the research, Threema said in a statement that the vulnerabilities impacted an older version of its protocol that is no longer in use. The research team says its work is what prompted the company to update the newer protocol and that the company's response is misleading. A security researcher has received a $1 million bug bounty reward after discovering and reporting a vulnerability that impacted three cryptocurrency projects running on the Polkadot blockchain, namely the Moonbeam, Aster Network, and Akala projects. According to cryptocurrency news outlet The Block, if the vulnerability had been exploited in the wild, an attacker could have stolen as much as $200 million worth of crypto assets from the three projects. Security researchers from Red Balloon have discovered a series of severe vulnerabilities in the firmware programmable logic controllers made by Siemens. Researchers say the vulnerabilities can allow attackers to bypass all protected boot features, allowing for a persistent modification of the device's operating code. Red Balloon described the issues as architectural vulnerabilities, meaning they can't be patched at a software level. Siemens has acknowledged the severity of the issues and admitted no fix will be provided. The vendor has published a series of workarounds and mitigations that its customers can implement to protect devices. And lastly, yesterday was the Patch Tuesday for January 2023. Listeners should be on the lookout for security updates from Adobe, Microsoft, SAP, Zoom, Lenovo, and Android Project. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is the Principal Security Researcher at Run Zero, Pierce Barry, who'll be sharing some insights on CISA's Binding Operational Directive 2301.
The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, also known as CISA, recently published Binding Operational Directive 2301 for improving asset visibility and vulnerability detection on federal networks. The directive contains some great information and guidance, including around asset discovery. While agencies might be tempted to lean on their existing products and services to also handle discovery of devices on the network, this can result in coverage and visibility gaps. For example, EDR solutions will not be installed on unmanaged devices and cannot be installed on IoT devices such as conference phones, switches, and IP cameras. Some EDR solutions attempt to locate unmanaged devices via basic ARP scanning from each agent, but we've found the current solutions to be fairly simplistic and inadequate for an asset inventory solution. If you are looking for a purpose-built asset visibility solution that combines active, unauthenticated scanning with API integrations, check out runzero.com and start your free trial today.
And that was Pierce Barry from today's sponsor, Run Zero. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for listening.